What is up, Raider Nation?
Yo, yo, yo.
This is your host, Matty Mayhem, and with me is Sean Carnage. And we are your hosts for Down With The Ship, a Raider Nation podcast made by Raider fans
for Raider fans.
We didn't even plan that.
I know, you like that?
This is our third episode, and we want to thank you guys who have stuck with us this long. You know, obviously, if you're still listening to us, you don't hate our voices that much, and that is much appreciated. We definitely appreciate you guys immensely, and we're doing this for you. Actually, we're doing this for all of Raider Nation, so even if you don't subscribe, you know, if you're just a casual listener, we still appreciate the heck out of you, and thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to speak into your
ear holes
for another week. This week on the show, we are going to be doing our first Down With The Ship mock draft. Now, don't worry, we're not going to go through all 32 teams. We're only interested in the top 10. So we're going to do a mock draft, the top 10, where Sean and I are going to take turns making the selections based upon what the teams need, based upon what we know about those teams and the players that are available. And then we're going to end talking about if the Raiders trade down. Because knowing McDaniels and Ziegler, they're probably being honest with themselves and telling themselves that, hey, we're probably a couple years away.
More picks.
More picks would equal better opportunities to get it right. So if the Raiders trade down, who is a target that we both like lower in the draft past the top 10? And so we're both going to identify a couple guys and bring the attention of those players to you guys, just in case, you know, that actually happens, somebody that you can be rooting for. But before we get into all that, how's it been going? What's your week been like, Sean?
You know, it's been pretty easy week at work. Actually, if my boss is listening, it's been a really tough week at work. So we've just been working hard out there. But yeah, everything's been going pretty good. I've been working on a new song for my wife. Been really stoked on the way it's coming out. You know, got a lot of people's hands on it now. Just kind of give me, you know, some direction and just trying to build it, make it the best it could be. Our anniversary is next week on 420. So believe that. But anyways, I might throw a little sample of it when it's done here.
For anybody that doesn't know, Sean and I come from an exceptionally musical family. Our dad played, he was a singer-songwriter, wrote a whole bunch of songs. And then, you know, of course, me and Sean and our brother Mark, all of us have been in bands basically for the majority of our lives at this point. You know, my brothers, both of them, played in a reggae band called Solution.
Shout out.
And for myself, you know, I've been in punk bands here, there, and everywhere. I'm currently in this band, Twilight Creeps, which I guess we could describe as horror punk, which would be perfect for the Black Hole. I think if any band kind of encapsulates horror punk, or if any team, I should say, encapsulates horror punk, it's got to be the Raiders. I mean, what other team in the NFL has that, you know, Halloween all the time, 24/7, like the Raiders do?
Yeah, it's all about that Black Hole over there. Halloween all the time. You got Darth Vader. You got the, I mean, it's what the Raiders are. And me and you are just huge Halloween fans. Horror movies all year round. I mean, it's just a part of who we are, and just like being a part of the Raider Nation.
You look in the Black Hole, you see guys dressed up as monsters, face painted like skulls. I mean, it is the most punk rock. I think if the Misfits were still around, the Misfits would be Raiders fans.
Hey, Lars from Rancid, he's a big Raider fan. Dude, I know that. Shout out, Lars.
You know who else is a Raider fan? Dude, Metallica. James Hetfield is a Raider fan.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure that the dudes from Green Day are Raiders fans too, because, you know, I mean, Oakland.
Hey, Tom Hanks is a Raiders fan.
You know what we'll do? Next episode, we'll talk about famous Raider fans.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
I mean?
Into that. I'm into that. You might be surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot of celebrities out there, so we'll get into that next week. Let's transition into, like I said, Down With The Ship's first swing at our mock draft. And we're only going to do the top 10 because, again, you know, we don't have that much time. I'd like to keep this at least around 30 minutes. And the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to start by making a selection for Carolina at number one. We'll look at what their team needs are and who I think that they draft. And then we'll switch it over, and Sean will do team two, which is Houston, and he'll talk about, you know, what their needs are and who he thinks that they're going to draft based upon who's available. And then it'll kick back over to me for three and so on and so forth until we get to 10. And so that's how we're going to do it. And we'll start at number one. Of course, number one is easy. I have the Carolina Panthers. Now, of course, Carolina's biggest need is a quarterback. They also probably could use a defensive end and maybe a wide receiver. You know, they don't necessarily have any superstars over there. And so I would say that number one is probably an easy choice because it sounds to me, based upon the rumors, that they're going to just take Bryce Young. And so I'm going to go ahead and lock in number one as Bryce Young. He's a good fit as a quarterback. You know, the guy is dynamic. He's like, what I've heard is he is the Steph Curry of these quarterbacks. You know, he's not that big, but he's super flashy. I would say that the Carolina Panthers drafting Bryce Young is probably a slam dunk at this point. What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of like the safest pick for them, you know. I mean, out of everybody there, I mean, obviously when you're drafting these young guys, you never know how it transitions into the NFL until you see it, you know. But Bryce Young is definitely, I mean, he looks the part.
All right.
So I got number two. That's the Houston Texans, you know. And you just mentioned that that whole rumor about them choosing a defense. And I mean, Will Anderson would definitely be really nice over there to kind of go with a pass rush that has nobody. But I mean, I'm just not buying it. With CJ Stroud right there, I think it's too enticing. You know, you definitely like him over Davis Mills, who, you know, led them to a 3-11 and one record last year, end up getting benched week 11. You know, I mean, definitely didn't show anything to be interested in. So, I mean, I think CJ Stroud's the more interesting quarterback going forward over there in Texas. So I don't see them passing on him.
All right, well, I guess that leaves me at pick three, the Cardinals. And we both agree, there's no way the Cardinals don't trade out of number three. The question is, who do they trade to? Now, I know the Cardinals themselves definitely don't need a quarterback. And we've got two very enticing quarterbacks still available with Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. And so I would guess that the easiest trade to make to move up and get would be the Colts trading up one spot so that they can guarantee that they get the quarterback that they want. And so they would trade with Arizona and hope that no other team that is quarterback needy, like, for example, the Raiders, or, you know, maybe who else needs a quarterback down there at the bottom? I know Seattle might need a quarterback. I know that Washington might need a quarterback. You know, so there is definitely teams that Tennessee needs a quarterback. So any of those teams could potentially move up. But I think that unless the Raiders bet the farm and you know, give everything to the Cardinals, I bet you they move and they trade with the Colts. So I'm going to say at pick three, the Cardinals are going to trade with the Colts. And the Colts are going to move up to third, and the Colts are going to select a quarterback. And I'm going to say that the Colts take Anthony Richardson at number three because, again, they need a quarterback desperately. And I know that over there in Indianapolis, they like, you know, they had a string of like veterans that they would sign. I mean, last year they had, was it Matt Ryan that they signed, and he just was not good at all. It was bad. So I'm going to say they draft Anthony Richardson. His ceiling is so high that I think that, you know, they're going to give him the time that he needs to kind of work through everything. And so I'm going to say pick three, the Colts go Anthony Richardson. And I guess that leaves you with pick four, and that would be Arizona.
All right. So with that trade, the Cardinals are up. Obviously, there's no need to get a quarterback here with Will Levis there. You know, in my head, it's between Jalen Carter and Will Anderson Jr., and with Murray's maturity issues that they're already dealing with over there, I don't think they're going to want to take on the baggage of Jalen Carter. So I think one of the best defensive guys in this whole draft is Will Anderson Jr., and I see them going with him right here.
So that leaves me with pick number five. That's the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, Seattle made the playoffs last year. So why are they picking this high? Because Denver was dumb enough to trade the first overall pick this year for Russell Wilson. And so now Seattle has a great opportunity to either draft their quarterback of the future to replace Geno Smith, who is still young, by the way, or they could go defense. I know over there in Seattle, they've got a need at defensive line. They also need another wide receiver to go with DK Metcalf. And of course, they could always use OL. Their offensive line is always seems to be struggling a little bit. You know, you got to protect whoever it is that's going to be the QB there. And I really believe that Seattle is going to reward Geno with the hard work that he put in last year. You know, I mean, he was phenomenal. I actually had Geno Smith in fantasy. And if it wasn't for Justin Fields, Geno Smith would have kind of carried me as well. You know, I had Geno as my backup. Now, all of that was after drafting Derek Carr in the fantasy draft. That was the worst decision ever. But I was able to pick up both Justin Fields and Geno Smith. So I don't think they're going to give up on Geno. I really don't. I believe that of all the teams here in the top 10, Seattle is probably the best place for Jalen Carter to go. Now, I don't know if you've seen footage of Jalen Carter, but that dude is like a man amongst boys. He just, he uses big boy strength to just toss grown men around like children. The dude is a monster, and I know his off-the-field issues are there, but I think that Pete Carroll can handle it. I think that the environment up there in Seattle is perfect for Jalen Carter. And so I think that that's where they go. I think Jalen Carter gets picked in the top five. I think he goes number five to Seattle. So that's my pick. And I'm locking it in, Jalen Carter at number five.
All right. So Jalen Carter off the board, and definitely, you know, not surprising, you know, as good as that guy is. So next up, I guess I got the Lions, who acquired the pick from the Rams last year in the Stafford Goff trade. Goff seemed to kind of turn it up a little bit towards the end of last season, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, obviously a quarterback's not a, they feel comfortable at that position right now. And they just traded Jeff Okuda, and so as soon as that happened, you automatically thought, "Hey, Raiders, which cornerback were they looking for?" And then who are the Lions looking at? And right now, I'm gonna go ahead and go with my favorite cornerback in the draft with Christian Gonzalez, and I just love his size, I love his speed, and just I mean pretty much everything about this guy right now coming out of college, and definitely seems to be ready for the NFL.
I think Christian Gonzalez is who that they had hoped that Jeff Okuda was going to be. You know, it's interesting. I remember wanting Jeff Okuda for the Raiders. He was supposed to be this can't-miss cornerback, and he was legit. You know where he played? He played at Ohio State with the other cornerback was the dude that the Raiders drafted, the guy that, you know, had
Hobbs?
No, the cornerback that, you remember he was like, he got into some fight on Instagram with a fan, and he like sent a picture of himself with a gun. You remember? And then
Arnett.
Yeah, Will, or Damon Arnett. That's David right. Arnett, it was Arnett. Yeah. See, I just blocked him out because he was such a terrible pick. Yeah, dude, Damon Arnett was the cornerback on the other side, and he played with Jeff Okuda. And you know, nobody would throw at Okuda, so they threw at Arnett, and he kind of held his own. But it turns out both of them were just terrible. Maybe they were just a product of the system, but I think that Christian Gonzalez is exactly what they thought that Jeff Okuda was. So I think that's a really good pick.
Damn you, Damon Arnett.
That leaves me with pick number seven, our Las Vegas Raiders. The way that the board has gone thus far, you know, you have three of the top four quarterbacks off the board already. We have Jalen Carter gone, Will Anderson Jr. gone. We have Christian Gonzalez gone.
It's kind of like the worst thing that could happen.
I really feel like that is the worst case scenario. I mean, I would have loved Jalen Carter. Would have loved Will Anderson Jr., and I would have loved Christian Gonzalez. Now, again, do I want to take Will Levis here? Do I think that the Raiders are going to take... You know, I saw... You've heard that Will Levis puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Have you heard that?
Oh, no.
Dude puts mayonnaise in his coffee, but he posted on... I think it was on Instagram. I could be wrong. He posted a video of himself eating a banana. Now, you think that's not bad, right? Dude didn't peel the banana. Huh. He literally was just taking bites of an unpeeled banana and ate the whole thing. And I honestly, the dude's food takes are god awful. I just can't see them drafting Will Levis. Now again, if they do, obviously I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a strong kid. You know, he has some good film. Obviously his film this past year wasn't as good as the film the year before, you know, but you know, I just don't think that they're going to go this route. I think that, you know, there's a reason the Raiders signed Jimmy G. There's a reason that they went out and they
Brian
you know,
Hoyer.
Yeah, they brought in Hoyer so that now we don't need to worry about a quarterback at all, you know, and that was intentional. So maybe the Raiders can go, okay, we'll draft a developmental guy, maybe in round two, maybe in round three. So I think that they go defense here. And with the way that the board has fallen, I'm going to say that the Raiders go ahead and draft Devon Witherspoon, the hard-hitting cornerback out of Illinois. And I believe that they basically team him up with Nate Hobbs, who also played at Illinois. And we have two really killer cornerbacks and one alpha dog. Devon Witherspoon is just a monster. Now, he doesn't have the size that Christian Gonzalez has. I think he's only 5. You know what I had said in our first podcast? He was only 5'8". I think he's 5'10". Okay, maybe 5'9", but he's somewhere around there. But he definitely plays bigger than he is, and the guy hits like Jonathan Abram used to hit. I mean, he is not afraid to lay the wood, as it were. So I think if you have him back there as our CB1, I think that would go a long way toward helping our defense, and then the Raiders could possibly look at defensive line in round 2. So I'm going to say at pick number 7, Devon Witherspoon is the pick for the Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, next up, we got the Falcons. I remember them for taking Marcus Mariota and having that not work.
I mean, it worked a little bit, but I mean, remember they benched him, so obviously it didn't work that well.
I was really rooting for him, too, when he went over there, just because I liked what he did over here, and I thought he deserved another chance, but yeah, it definitely didn't work out. So they could use a quarterback, because who do they got right now? Desmond Ridder, who they picked up from Cincinnati. Drafted in round 3, and he just was not cutting it at all.
Well, he just didn't really play. I mean, I think he had like 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He did finish with like an 86.4 QB ranking for the year, but that's just not enough to have evaluated him. They really should have just started him all year instead of trying to win with Marcus Mariota.
Exactly. But at the same time, we got Will Levis here available. And, you know, I think that might be pretty enticing, you know, although they could use a lot of help on that defense, you know, perhaps Tyree Wilson to kind of provide a little bit of a rush on the quarterback, you know, with those long arms and pair with Calais Campbell and kind of improve on the offense and defense. You know, I think that's going to be really enticing. But if Will Levis is still there, I think you go ahead and throw him in there. Now you have 2 up and coming young quarterbacks and let him battle it out in camp.
That's actually really smart. So, you know, Will Levis brings his entire banana-eating talent skill set over there in Atlanta, and he, you know, he battles it out with Ridder, and they basically let the best man win. They are really lacking in pass rush, though. I know they just signed Calais Campbell. You know, Tyree Wilson would have been a good spot here, but I think you're right. I think Will Levis would be a good spot. I mean, he's not going to get past, or I mean, they could trade too. Maybe they trade with Tennessee or they trade with Washington, but I like that pick, Will Levis. Nice. So that leaves me with pick number 9, and that's the Bears. Obviously, it used to be the Panthers, but the Panthers traded all the way up with the Bears. And so the Bears are at number 9, and I think out of their needs, obviously they could use defensive line, they could use cornerback, but I think their number 1 need is going to be offensive line to protect Fields. Now, I know Fields needs some weapons there, but I just don't think there are enough wide receivers in this draft that are truly difference makers. They could probably take a flyer on somebody definitely early in the second, because they should be at the top of round 2. And so I think if I'm the Bears, I'm going to go ahead and take the best offensive lineman, the best offensive tackle, I should say, in this draft. Now, again, when the draft was first discussed for this year, a lot of people had Peter Skoronski as the number 1 tackle. Peter Skoronski, of course, out of Northwestern. But a lot of people say because of his short arms, he probably projects better at guard. And, you know, I don't know if you pick a guard that high. And so I think that the Bears are going to err on the side of caution and take the best tackle, true tackle, in this draft. And so I think I'm going to go Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State. Now, Paris Johnson Jr. is a massive man, 6'6", 313. He's got the long arms that you want to tackle. You draft him there at number 9. You set him at left tackle and have him protect Justin Fields' blind side. And I think they're set, at least there, for, you know, 10 years or however long he plays. So that's what I think that the Bears do at number 9. So I'm going to lock it in Paris Johnson Jr.
All right, I guess that leaves me to wrap things up here with pick number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, Eagles were NFC champions last year. Lost some guys in defense in free agency this year. So, I mean, you know, they're probably going to be looking to fill in some holes as far as that's concerned. But with Bijan Robinson still on the board and as dynamic of a playmaker as he is, I can't see the Eagles passing on somebody like that. He is one of my favorite players in the draft. Obviously, running back is one of my favorite positions. But I can't wait to see what this guy does in the NFL. So I'm locking him in. Eagles picking Bijan Robinson.
You know, they say that Bijan Robinson is the best player in this draft. I know that what's popular right now around the league and with mock drafters and, you know, analysts and stuff is not to draft a running back in the first round. It's just not a valued position, you know. But But I've heard that Bijan Robinson is like, I've heard that he's like the Michael Jordan of this draft. I mean, the dude is just incredible. He just happens to play a position that's not really valued to be drafted in the first round. So that is an interesting pick. And imagine going to the Super Bowl. Now, granted, they lost, and still getting a top 10 pick and the best player in this draft, potentially. I mean, what a steal for the Eagles at number 10. So that's it for the top 10. Just a review. We had Bryce Young going number one to the Panthers. Number two was C.J. Stroud going to the Texans. Number three, we had Anthony Richardson being selected by the Colts. Number four, Will Anderson going to the Cardinals after having a trade with the Colts, of course. Number five, Jalen Carter going to the Seahawks. Six, Christian Gonzalez going to the Lions. At seven, Devon Witherspoon going to the Raiders. Number eight, Will Levis going to Atlanta. Number nine, Paris Johnson Jr. going to the Bears. And finally, rounding out the top 10, Bijan Robinson going to the Eagles. Now, of course, a lot's going to change, and this is probably way off because every mock draft is way off. It's like trying to guess the March Madness brackets, you know what I mean?
A lot of smoke out there, you know, a lot of false rumors. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, have you heard that rumor that C.J. Stroud is like, not coachable? You know, I've heard a rumor that he's just not coachable. You know what I'd like to think? That C.J. Stroud is just tanking his prospects with other teams because he wants to come to the Raiders. You know, they asked him what team he wants to play for, and he said he can't say, but if you know who if you know who Ochocinco's favorite route runner is, that's the team he wants to play for. And you know whose favorite route runner is?
Adams.
Devontae Adams. So C.J. Stroud, let it be known that C.J. Stroud wants to come to the Raiders. Man, I would love to have C.J. Stroud. His accuracy is the best in the class. I mean, the guy just does not miss, does not throw interceptions. I mean, that's what we need. That's what we need exactly for McDonald's, for McDaniel's defense. A lot of fans call him McDonald.
Yeah, sometimes I don't blame him.
I'd be stoked with Bryce Young too, but there's no way. There's no way in hell.
I feel like he's gone right away.
He's gone. And you know what? Truth be told, I wouldn't be upset if they drafted Will Levis. Because, again, he does have some good tape. I know that everybody is soured on Will Levis, and I know that his weird eating habits, mayo in his coffee, eating entire bananas nonsense. I know that that's a thing, but, like, the guy could – I mean, what's his ceiling? Josh Allen, at his prime?
Yeah,
I would love that. All right, so for the last part of the show today, I want to talk about if the Raiders trade down, not trade up, if the Raiders trade down – who is a potential target that you hope that they go for? You know, I mean, we know everything about the top 10 because, you know, obviously we're in the top 10 and all the players at the top. But if the Raiders were to trade down and get some more draft capital to maybe potentially, you know, trade back up into the first round and, you know, draft, you know, a defensive player or a quarterback, you know, if they see one that's still there at the end of the first round. But if we draft down, let's say to like 15 or 17, who is a player that you are targeting for that trade down, who you hope that they get outside of the top 10. And so with that in mind, who do you like?
So if the Raiders were to trade back in the first, I wouldn't want to go too far back. And of course, I'd like to focus on defense. Q on the Locked On Raiders podcast, he got me interested in Emmanuel Forbes, 6'1", 166 pounds out of Mississippi State. Of course, you know, what stands out is his size. You know, but I mean, just watching his tape, you know, the guy can play. He's got an act to be around the football, and he's not afraid to hit people, you know. But if we trade back and Joey Porter Jr. is still there, 6'2", 193 pounds out of Penn State, man, I'm taking him. You know, of course, he's the son of Joey Porter Sr., who shined over there in Pittsburgh. He's got football in his blood, and I think he's probably like maybe the best, like the third or fourth best cornerback in this whole draft. So if we can draft back, pick him up still, get a dynamic playmaker to go with Nate Hobbs on the outside, I'm going with it. So Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, that's great. I love the pick. For me, though, I still feel like when you build the defense, you got to build from the line out, not from out. You know, I know in our mock draft, I took Devon Witherspoon because it just you can't pass a cornerback of that caliber. But if we trade down, a guy that I have my eye on is Kalijah Kansi, defensive tackle out of Pitt. Now, here's the thing about him. He's not that big. He's only 6'1", about 280 pounds, right? But the thing is, the guy is like rushes the quarterback. Like he's the best defensive tackle rush besides Jalen Carter, of course. I mean, but the guy is a true you know, rushing the quarterback defensive tackle. You know, and you know who else was a kick-ass monster that came out of Pitt as a defensive tackle?
Who's that?
A little guy known as Aaron Donald. You ever heard of him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald came out of Pitt. I remember that they said that the dude was like a bowling ball. You know, you just couldn't stop him. He was always in the backfield. And now I'm not saying that Kalijah Kancey is going to be like Aaron Donald, but you got to like, you know, what he has to offer. I mean, I think he is considered the second best defensive tackle in this draft. And so if the Raiders trade down, I would love for them to take him and finally get some pressure out of the interior of that defensive line. I mean, they need that so badly. And so I think if you trade down, pick up some draft capital, and still end up with Kalijah Kancey, man, that would be such a steal for the Raiders. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. I think it was a good episode of Down with the Ship. What do you think?
Oh, I had a blast. I had a blast. I always talk about Raiders, man. I couldn't be happier.
What do you got going on this weekend?
Not too much, man. Just watching our younger brother Mark's twin babies he just had in December, Hendrix and Phoenix, you know. So I got uncle duties this weekend. What about yourself?
Well, I was supposed to have a tattoo appointment on Saturday, but my tattoo guy Todd, shout out to Todd, Old Glory Tattoo in Yorba Linda, he hit me up yesterday and he said that he's got the flu, so I had to reschedule that. So I'll probably spend the majority of Saturday handling some, you know, odd jobs around the house that my wife wants me to handle. I'm pretty sure she wants me to garden a little bit in the back and
always.
Yeah, run to Home Depot and pick up some stuff. But I'll probably spend a lot of time playing Call of Duty on Saturday too. I know season 3 just came out. I mean, of course I'm gonna edit the podcast. But yeah, it should be a good mellow weekend. I know I got a lot of stuff coming up within the next couple of weekends. You know, I got the show in Havasu the last weekend of April.
Which is also the draft.
Which is also the draft. Yeah, it sucks because I'm going to watch the draft day one on the 27th, and then we're going to drive to Havasu on the 28th. And so I'm going to probably listen to the draft on the way up there. And then on the 29th, I've got a show, and I guarantee I'm going to be spending the morning watching the draft in the hotel room before we go on. Like, that's literally how I'm going to spend the 29th.
You're going to have an earpiece in with the draft in your ear as you play. The songs are just, like, automatic.
And dude, I have never missed the draft. I watch every second of every day of the NFL draft. That's crazy.
Well, we always celebrate your birthday, and it's kind of going to be weird because you're not going to be here. But, you know, Matt's birthday is April 30th, and so it's kind of, like, been a tradition, you know? Like, that's what he enjoys doing, and that's what we enjoy doing. And so it was always Matt's birthday. Let's go to the draft. We did it in Big Bear 1 year. Got a cabin and had the draft out there. It was awesome.
Yeah. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Anyways, we want to end by thanking you guys again. Those of you who have subscribed to the podcast, we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity and liking us enough to actually subscribe to the pod. I mean, we're doing this for you. Actually, we're doing this for all of Raider Nation, but those of you especially who like what you hear, you know, spread the word. Tell your friends. Any Raider fan you know, let them know about us. Reach out on social media. We are on Instagram and Twitter at DWTS Raiders. That's at DWTS Raiders. That's Down with the Ship Raiders.
Yes.
Hit us up, DM us, slide into our DMs and send us some messages, give us some feedback, ask us some questions. We'll answer each and every one of your questions on the pod, and we'll take your feedback into account. If you tell us we're great, we'll keep it up. If you tell us we suck, then we'll do what we can to fix that, if it's possible. All right, well, once again, Raider fans, this has been Down with the Ship, a Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Matty Mayhem, and with me is Sean Carnage, and we are signing off. We'll see you next time.
Peace out.